For the Fallen by Lawrence Binyon. With proud thanksgiving, a mother for her children, England mourns for her dead across the sea. Flesh of her flesh they were, spirit of her spirit, fallen in the cause of the free. Solemn the drums thrill. Death, august and royal, sings sorrow up into immortal spheres. There is music in the midst of desolation, and a glory that shines upon our tears. They went with songs to the battle. They were young, straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow. They were staunch to the end against odds uncounted. They fell with their faces to the foe. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. They mingle not with their laughing comrades again. They sit no more at familiar tables of home. They have no lot in our labour of the daytime. They sleep beyond England's foam. But where our desires are, and our hopes profound, felt as a wellspring that is hidden from sight, to the innermost heart of their own land they are known, as the stars are known to the night. As the stars that shall be bright when we are dust, moving in marches upon the heavenly plain. As the stars that are starry in the time of our darkness, to the end, they remain. That poem is absolutely standard to read out at Remembrance Day services in the United Kingdom and all across the Commonwealth. So Lawrence Binyon was a well-known and widely appreciated poet, British poet of the early 20th century. And indeed he died in 1943 amidst the Second World War, died of natural causes, a fairly old man. And then he wrote this one actually quite close to the beginning of the First World War, but the casualties were mounting. This was not going to be over by Christmas. Already tens of thousands of Britons had been killed. He had three daughters and he had no sons. In that sense, you might think he had no skin of the game, but he did have grandsons, some of whom then served in the Second World War. So he was an Oxford University graduate, son of a clergyman, and perhaps some religious imagery comes through this. And the most celebrated stanza, the fourth one, "They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them." I remember in school us being encouraged to repeat that last line, "We will remember them," once whoever's declaiming the poem had uttered it. And so it goes on. So you see how rhythmical it is. It's got a rhyme scheme. He's written in various quatrains. What else can I say? So it's splendiferous, and it summons it up. So he employs the majesty of the English language. So the mother for her children, that is the United Kingdom, or more particularly England, for her dead across the sea, because the fighting was all outside the United Kingdom. Okay, then the Easter Rising came when some pro-Germans within Ireland, they started fighting. So flesh of her flesh, because these people, they are flesh. Spirit of her spirit, fallen in the cause of the free. Fallen, obviously, being this some euphemism for killed, for the fallen. And wasn't there an American composer who wrote For the Fallen, a musical piece after the Second World War? and saying solemn the drums thrill. So there's sadness to it, but also exciting. Death, august and royal. August as in dignified, worthy, like respected. Royal as in because they're fighting for the king. Sorrows sing up into immortal spheres. So some alliteration there. So immortal spheres is there, so they're going up to heaven. There is music in the midst of desolation. Right, well, no doubt there is funereal music and a glory that shines upon our tears. So yes, there's this terrible grief, the sense of a loss, but it's not just mourning, and yet these people are illumined with splendor because you know that they've nobly laid down their lives for something more valuable than themselves. That's the idea. So that they are immortalized in that sense. Sadly to say that they are not remembered and they're largely overlooked. They went with songs to battle. They were young. And this is often recited decades later by the survivors, who those who knew them start to think, as an old person, these people were often teenagers who got killed. Some of them lied about their ages and were well below military age, as young as 14. And recruiting sergeants, being none too scrupulous about it, read a case of a guy going to join the army saying he was 16. And the recruiting sergeant says, "Go out the room, come back, tell me you're 18, and I'll let you join." And he did. And the recruiting sergeant taking him to the army, knowing this person was below the legal age. And so it goes on. They were straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow, about how physically fit they were. And even they didn't get killed, sometimes they lose this, had limbs hacked off, or then became misshapen or blinded or whatever. Aglow, as in they were so youthful, full of energy. They were staunch to the end, against odds uncounted. Presumably not all of them were valiant right towards the end, but nevertheless, and they didn't actually always face overwhelming odds. Some of them, you might outnumber the enemy and still get killed, some of you. They fell with their faces to the foe, as in they did not run away. And all right, there's a bit of poetic license. Some of them will have run away and got killed anyway. Okay, so they don't grow old, that's true. In that sense, they are perpetually young. They're stuck at that age. Okay, so they don't get tired or die from senile diseases. They were just killed. So when you wake up and at nightfall, you shall remember them, but quite often they're not remembered. They mingle not with their laughing comrades again. That's true, because those who survived are something to celebrate. They shall not sit more at familiar tables of home. Reminds me about Lloyd, what was it, Lloyd George, or maybe it was actually Churchill, said afterward the war, every dining table had its empty chair. Now, of course, not quite literally true, but many families had lost at least one family member. And there's the list of thankful villages, those villages in the United Kingdom where nobody was killed. They have no lot in our labour of the daytime. Okay, so they don't do ordinary jobs. They sleep beyond England's foam. So sleep, obviously, euphemism for are dead. Foam because of England as part of the island of Great Britain, and so on. So that's it, and I think it's a very worthy poem. Goodbye.